and at the home as well. So let's just ask the Lord to help us, guide us, and just do what He desires. Father, we thank You that You again allow us to come together. I thank You for the ministries that have occurred this day at the home. And Father, we just lift up the people that are struggling. We do pray especially for Janice, as she's, we pray that she'll stay healthy, be able to stay healthy and be able to go to Arizona and have a great trip, a trip without any sickness. We just pray You'll comfort and bless and protect. We pray for Michael that You will provide work for him, a young man, and he had this one job, and we know that he seemed to do well there, but they didn't have a slot to keep, so we just pray You'll bless him, provide just the right position for him in the right place. Think of just many who have various needs. We know that everyone is faced with something. We think of those who are ill. We think of Bev as she's undergoing treatments. We think of Paul and Ruth, that You might bless them in their recoveries. And Father, we pray for Bob. I know he's recovering, but we just pray he might completely recover from the problem and the fall and the injury that he had. So, Father, we just pray that also You will guide us in our thoughts. May they be consistent with Your will. May we just be in tune with You, and that Your Spirit would have the freedom that You want as we open Your Word. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like you to turn back with me to the passage we were in this morning in Colossians chapter 3. And we would like to spend a little more time in this verse. It's an important passage for us. Colossians, I think, has so much. It protects us, builds us, and centers us on the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians is a wonderful, wonderful book. It probably, as you think, Colossians and Ephesians have a lot of parallel thoughts, and so they're both just wonderful books, kind of pinnacle of some of Paul's teaching, and really valuable for us. So we want to come back to this, and I want to think a few more thoughts from this passage. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And in some versions it says to the Lord. So we have this beautiful little section, and it has a lot in it. And we talked this morning that we have to allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly or extravagantly. Greek scholar puts it, allowing the Word of Christ to just be a major part of our thought process, pondering it, studying it, reading it, allowing it to impact us and mold us. And so we've said on a number of occasions, and this is a no-brainer, there's so many distractions in our culture. We have so many advantages, and technology has a lot of advantages, but it also has a lot of distractions, and sometimes in dangerous distractions. But when we look at this, we think the Word of God is such a prominent, is so critical. It's the Word of Christ. He's a center point of His book. He's a center point. And we need to give Him the center point of our lives. The Lord Jesus is, really, if it wasn't for Him, just think, what would we have? You would have maybe a few years, and if you were fortunate, you would have maybe, hopefully, have some health, and maybe have a decent job and hopefully have some good family ties, maybe not. But anyway, you look at that, and then it's all over. But if we enjoy the Lord, we draw upon the Lord, He makes life worth living. He is life itself. And then we know he's going to usher us into eternity, and we're going to be before Him forever. And it's not just change of location, although that will be wonderful, but it's also we will know Him, and it says when we see Him, we will become like Him. That's an amazing, I mean, I don't think we can grasp that fully, because it's, and I think one of the things, and I was pondering this the other day, you know, as you ponder Scripture, one thing when we become like Him, obviously, I don't know how we're going to look physically. We can still identify each other, it seems. But when we become like Him, in no sin, no hindrances, no external distraction, we're going to have the most intimate fellowship with Him. You see, right now we have a measure of fellowship. If we're walking with the Lord, we can enjoy the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. We can have what's called the abundant life the Lord Jesus talked about. But it's even going to be heightened when we enter into His presence. And then we'll be able to enjoy Him in a ways that we can't enjoy Him right now. Because there's a sin hindrance in our life. And our capacities are not what they will be. So, but a lot of heaven, like, you know, you've heard it so many times, is not just the golden streets, although I'm sure that will be impressive. But really, it's the relationship with the Lord. And so, but what we want now is to enjoy Him and become more and more like Him. As we behold Him, in 2 Corinthians it talks about we become more and more like Him. It says from glory to glory. And so really what is from degree. I've seen people translate it, and this does not do it full justice, but from degree to degree. In other words, as we behold Him through the Word, by the Spirit's working, we behold, and really we can't grasp the Word apart from the Spirit of God being our teacher. But as we behold Him in the Word, we become more and more increasingly like Him. So that's just another reason we want to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, because that's how we behold Him daily. And so it's a wonderful thing, but because of all the distractions, it's so easy to get, you know, we're thinking about this. And of course, I mean, I just know it's the way life works, and we all get distracted. And you have to go through your responsibilities, and there's nothing wrong with that. But seeing our responsibilities, seeing our day-to-day, seeing that in connection with Christ Himself, because Christ is relevant for every facet of our life. He's relevant for everything. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're getting ready for work, whatever you're doing. He is relevant for those moments. It's just a lot of times we don't know how He's relevant for those moments. Just think if you have a big job and, you know, you're kind of dreading it, but because you know it's going to be so hard. But one of the things, I mean, this is just one facet of the Lord Jesus, is that He can give us perseverance. He can give us endurance. He can give us faithfulness until the task is accomplished. That comes from Him, ultimately. It's not just by, you know, pulling our bootstraps up, but it's drawing our strength from Him to become more and more like Him so that we're being changed, and then we can accomplish whatever He's called us to do. But we can accomplish it with Him. You know, and I think a lot of times I catch myself in my life, you know, well, I'll get this done, and then maybe I'll spend some time with the Lord, you know. But I'm missing the joy of the Lord in doing that. I want to enjoy the Lord while I'm doing those things. Let's see if you're blowing snow, which I'll think we'll both get that number of that nice neighbor, right? And so, but you think, okay, I can move snow. It's not my favorite thing. You know, the older I get, the less I enjoy it. Grant, I know, he loves snow. Grant, you can come over, have all mine. Okay. But anyway, you think, I can actually move snow if my heart is right with Christ. I can do that with Him. You know, He gives me endurance. He gives me a better attitude about snow removal, you know. And just as what was shared, people are watching, just as Terry mentioned. So if I'm out there and I'm grumping every move I make, and my neighbor just happens to look out the window, and he sees I'm really an unhappy camper or snow remover, well, Christ is not honored in that. But if he can see, you know, he might know I'm not crazy about the whole thing, but I have a right attitude. I'm doing it in the right way. If Christ is my energy and power, then I can honor him even in doing the snow moving. And so, you know, I think, remember what we think of the passages. Whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And that is written to a slave. And I've said this various times, but what amazes me about that, you can honor the Lord in the most menial job through Christ. If we do it through him and for him, God gets the honor and we'll get the reward. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. But so let the word, but we have to know what we have in Christ to draw on him to do it the way Christ will empower us and direct us. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. We're not going to become like him unless we're allowing that to happen. The more we draw on him through the word of God, it's our measurement. Like we said this morning, I do think in our culture as it has is kind of developed, we identify a lot of times emotion with maturity. You know, if I'm really excited about something. And I don't think, you know, I think God gave us emotion. But we need to make sure our emotion is directed by God's revelation. And so that when I can be excited and I can be thankful and all of those things. And if it's in line with God's word and I'm thankful about the right things, that's great. But if I'm just excited, you know, I'm just up, you know, I'm having a high moment, but it has no relevance to Christ and his word, then it's an empty shell at times. So we don't want that. We want real joy. And joy comes from fellowship with the Lord. I was thinking about this morning, breaking the bread. In 1 John chapter 1, it talks about, it introduces in the first section about having fellowship with the Lord. It says, you know, the word is given, and as we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And then the next verse, verse 4 of chapter 1, the next verse goes right. You know, he writes these things that your joy may be made full. So where does joy come from? All from fellowship with the Lord, drawn on him. As I draw on him, then I have real joy. And so it's a wonderful thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Now, as we come back to our passage, and I just want to add and expand a little bit. With all wisdom, when the word of Christ richly dwells within us, our wisdom, our genuine wisdom increases. Because wisdom comes from God's word. Real wisdom is from God's word. And in notice, it says, with all wisdom. When, you know, the more we draw on God's word, the Lord Jesus being at the center of it, we gain wisdom. And wisdom, we could define it this way, is grasping biblical principles to live skillfully. If you study Proverbs, and it uses the word wisdom, that's really what it means, is to live life skillfully. And of course, real skill is living consistent with God's reality, God's truth. So we want to live skillfully. And that's the way God wants life to be lived, because that's the very best way to live. It's consistent with him. So we need wisdom. We need all the wisdom we can get. Think of all the complicated situations in life. I mean, you know, the further I go down life and the road, you realize nobody's life is without some complications. We could all, you know, let's have sharing time. What's complicating in your life? What's hard in your life? What would you, if you could get rid of it, what would you get rid of out of your life? You know, we all have those things. Nobody's exempt. We all have stuff. But so that's just all the more reason we need wisdom to, how do I navigate through this situation? We all have pains and hurts and, you know, and maybe past memories, but God can help us navigate wisely, even in a painful world. And so we have so much opportunity to really live life at its best, to live life skillfully, but we have to draw that skill, that wisdom from the Word of Christ. And so God gives us this opportunity to grasp the wisdom. And I think of this passage, and if in Colossians, you want to turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, we read these words. They just so fits together, which obviously it would. But in verse 28, it says, we proclaim him, or Christ, Paul's saying, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, with all wisdom. Now, notice what it goes on to say, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, I just want to, hold your finger on that, and then look over in chapter 2, and we read this morning. These are two different words, but they're translated, at least in my version, the same way. I want to read in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 2. For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. I mean, he is fully God. He's missing nothing. And in him, you have been made complete. Now, that's positionally. And I try to make it as simple, because positionally it sounds so theoretical. But positionally is truth from God's vantage point. We may not be able to, you know, we can't touch it, but it's true. And the truth that is here is that we're complete in Christ. We have everything we need. But there's the other side of it, is that even though positionally we have everything we need, we still have to grow so all that provision becomes increasingly practical. When you're born again, and you have, we think of a little baby, and when they're born, and we've said this many times, but you know, a little baby, he might have all the parts, right, everything, but he still has to grow. And it's true enough, when we're born again, we're complete in Christ. The very moment we have everything we need. But in the passage, it talks about actually this becoming increasingly practical, experiential. And that's when I go back to chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's a different word. That so we may present every person, every Christian woman, every Christian man, every Christian boy, every Christian girl, as they're growing in the Lord, they're becoming mature. We could say they may be mature in Christ. So you have these two realms. We have everything we need the moment we're born again. We're complete. We're complete positionally. But practically, we got a lot of growing to do. And if we're healthy, we're going to be growing our whole Christian life. I mean, you know, when you think of, mentioned Morgan this morning, and of course, some of you who know Morgan well, you know, he's had a lot of things in his life that are really tough. I mean, I didn't understand all, you know, the more I visited with him, but you know, when he was, I mentioned this in part this morning, but I didn't address all of it, but I think, I asked Morgan the several weeks back, I said, How long have you been married before your wife was diagnosed with MS? It was about 2 years. 2 years. You know, you think, oh, we're going to be happily married. We're in love. And you think 2 years and your wife is diagnosed with MS. Whoa. I mean, how? Just over the top. And then, of course, and he said, if you know more, he said, oh, man, my back's killing me, right? Well, he said, I lifted my wife too many times, you know, and trying to get her into the van and help her around, and all the years that, and from everything I understand, he was a great husband and caring for his wife. Well, then you get to this season of life. He's in a whole nother season, and now he's had this leg problem, and is, you know, he's going to be on antibiotics until he's with the Lord, apparently. And the other thing that his eye, he can't see. You know, if you see Morgan, if you see him in the hospital and you walk in the room, he can see that somebody's there. But until you talk and say something, he can't see, he can't identify who that is standing there. So here, but you know what amazes me about Morgan? He's always got a smile on his face. You know, he'll perk, it's like the person you go to visit in the hospital will perk them up and they perk you up. But here, what is that about? Often it's about Christ working in Morgan's life. Because that's so, you think how much wisdom you need to navigate these kind of emotions and disappointments and the hardships of life. But that's a person, in my perception, that has grown in the midst of the difficulties. But how do you do that? Only as Christ is being formed in us. We look to the Lord and the Spirit of God is making us from degree to degree like the Lord Jesus. And then we learn how to, and then the more we become like him, the better we navigate, right? You know, you get frustrated with, you know, some crazy situation, and God, by God's grace, you can control your anger. And I mean, I know I need God's help for that, right? All the crazy things you think, that was so bizarre, that was so unfair. And then, or you might be over here and God can just encourage your heart even though you're really having a bad day. You know, the Lord is sufficient for all these things. We're complete in him, but we need to mature in him. And that comes as we draw on the Word of God. Now, not only do we want to walk in wisdom and we want to let the Word of Christ dwell in us for us personally, we want to do this and share this with our church family. And that's where this comes. So it's not just about me. It's not just about the individual. The church is about the group, the family. And that's what God, so this is where he goes on. He says, okay, draw on these things, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then share these things with one another. Notice as we read in our passage again, let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom. And then it says, excuse me, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. Excuse me. Now, obviously, we believe in teaching. You know, we have Sunday to Sunday, and you know, we know it's critical, but it's absolutely essential that I think, you know, when it's easy in our culture to minimize teaching, because we think, oh man, when is this over? You know, we're so used to the 60-second, you know, info, and then we're out of here, right? But so it's easy to kind of shrink down time, but we need God's Word. And, you know, just think how many, you know, all of us sitting here, God has each of us probably reading in a different part of the Bible right now. And so you might have something you're reading, let's say you're reading in 1 Samuel. And God really, you know, and let's say a friend of yours, there, and you know, usually God prepares us, and then he gives us something to share with somebody else. And maybe they hadn't read 1 Samuel for a year. And then you have something, and you can share that with your brother or sister. And they need that. They need, you know, God works through all of us, and he wants us to encourage each other as family. Teaching one another. Now, of course, we have teaching like what we're doing right now, but it's also sharing the truth that God has impressed us with. And you say, oh, man, I never thought about that. And somebody else shared that with you, and that was really helpful. And so to share that with each other, making sure that we're saturated with God's Word so we can share God's Word. Now, this is the part our culture definitely doesn't like, and a lot of times we get our back up too. Notice this. If we have God's wisdom, the wisdom of Christ, the Word of Christ, through the Word of Christ, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, how many of us like to be corrected? You think? As a kid, you know, how many times did I really enjoy my dad saying, Don, no, you can't do that, or that didn't work out so well, did it? You know, and pointing out my mistake. Well, you know, usually we think, oh, you know, and if a coach, if you're in a sport and you messed up on the court, are on the field, and you come off the court or off the field, and the coach says, "What were you thinking?" You say, "Well, you keep your mouth shut because you want to stay on the team, right?" But we don't always receive admonition very well. I mean, I think part of it is just, you know, it's easy for us to get our back up because who are you to tell me? Well, the fact is, none of us get it all together right all the time. A lot of us mess up. We need somebody who loves us. And, of course, that's what we're talking about here, is not just, you know, somebody likes to run over people. We're not talking about that. That's not Christian love. But out of Christian love, if somebody loves you enough and they see that you're doing something that's going to hurt you, then they come alongside you and say, "Have you thought about, you know, the consequences of this?" And then that's out of love, right? You're trying to protect somebody from more severe consequences. And so there's that place for us. And I don't necessarily like to receive it, and I don't really like to give it, because a lot of times people don't want to hear it, right? And so if you ever exhorted somebody, or maybe with children or something, you know, and so after it was over, you know they were trying to avoid you at all possibilities, right? You know, "Oh, I'm going the other way." Or, you know, in a church, "Oh, I have to leave early." But whatever. And so there's a place for loving admonition. But you know what? If we don't know God's word, we don't have much to say. If we don't know the certain truths, basic principles, it might just be our opinion. Well, God is saying, don't just share your opinion. Share what I have shown you in my book that will really be valuable for this brother or sister. So teaching and admonishing. Now, the whole thing of receiving admonition, I'm just going to read a few verses out of Proverbs that relates to this. Proverbs 27:5, it says, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed." That's an interesting thought, isn't it? You know, you say, "Oh, I love you," but you don't tell them the whole story. Better is open rebuke. And then it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I remember one time, a good friend of mine, this is in Nova Scotia, and we were both involved in leadership, and One of my sons was involved in something, and I thought we should go one way, and my friend thought we should go the other way, it related to my son, right? Well, you know, when it relates to your kids, it's kind of, you kind of have blinders on, you know? And I really was not, I was frustrated with this situation. But we sat down, we had dinner together and talked, and he's pretty strong, he's a great guy. But, you know, when it was all said and done, by God's grace, I said, okay, I accepted it. But, you know, in reflection, he was right. He was right. And I'm thankful that he had the courage to stand where he stood. He was right. And so sometimes we say, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong. But somebody loved me enough to tell me the way it was, and that was because they cared about me, not because they were trying to be mean or bowl me over, but admonishing one another. And so, you know, sometimes it's awful hard to listen. This is another proverb, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. That's very interesting. But I always find this last is it's so in your face. The last part of Proverbs 12:1. But he who hates correction is stupid. That says it in the NIV. Well, that's sure going to make a lot of friends. Right? But you know what? If we can't learn from our mistakes and we can't let a brother or sister nudge us, we're not being wise. And God says, hey, pay attention. I'm loving you. None of us got it all together. None of us do it perfectly. And there are times when we need someone to help us. And there are times that God wants to use you to help someone else. So it's a two-way street, and we want to make sure we're in line with God's words, not just our personal opinion, not just, you know, I'm mad at somebody or I'm going to try to run over somebody. but that we're in tune with God's Word and we share God's Word, the principles of it. At the right time, the right place, a lot of times in those kind of things, we just need to pray, God, give me wisdom of timing, give me attitude that's right, and just work it out in your best and for this person's best. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then in all wisdom, sharing with one another, teaching one another, admonishing one another. And then, I thought a little more about this music in our assembly. You know what? Every meeting we have music. Isn't it interesting? We have music. Now, we could say, well, we're spending too much time on music. But it's interesting. Did you see what our passage says? It says, it lays this out. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God or to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then we're to share that with those around us, but not just with teaching, although that's a part of it, not with just with admonition, but also through music. Now, as we know more through research in recent years, music touches a different part of our brain than, let's say, teaching. And you probably saw that even today. There are some people in the nursing home, they may not be able to be very cognizant, but you start singing Amazing Grace, and they can kind of join in, right? Well, why? Because music touches us in a different way. And so it seems that God has designed, I mean, this obviously is God's Word, God has designed music to be another way that we can minister to one another and allow the Word of Christ to impact us and be shared with those around us. Isn't that interesting? So it's right that we have music at every meeting. You know, and not for it to be mechanical, like, well, we have to have so many minutes, but it's a part of God's plan to touch our heart deeply and change us. And so you think, if you're just going along and you start humming a song, and maybe you've known it for years, but God uses those. Amazing. I love Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Right? Well, that's embedded in my mind. Right? The wretch part maybe my mom emphasized. I'm not sure. But anyway, you think, man, the music. And just, it's a wonderful hymn that God had Mr. Newton put together for us. But anyway, God inspired, letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another, and then with psalms. Let's just briefly. Psalms. Music accompaniment. Psalms often were sung with stringed instruments, but we could think of the piano, stringed instruments. And then we think of Kyle, who plays a guitar. Or think of Kelly when they have the guitar. Using instruments. There have been some groups in history that said, well, you should never use an instrument. Well, that's not true from this passage. There's a place for instruments. But anyway, so singing, psalms. And of course, a lot of those psalms, a lot of the words come right out of the Old Testament songs and psalms. Hymns. This is interesting when we think of in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas, remember they were having a singspiration at midnight. I can't believe this, right? Here they're probably bleeding and they're wounded. But you know what? God redirects their thinking. It's one thing about music. It kind of, puts our mind on a higher level, right? So at midnight, they're singing. And it says of this, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're singing hymns to God. What an amazing thing. And of course, the jailer was impacted by that, right? This is in Acts 16. And he said, what must I do, right? He had listened to them singing. It impacted him. What must I do to be saved? And so, but we think hymns. And What a wonderful thing that we, you know, I look sometimes at the dates when the hymns were written. I think, man, this is quite a while back. and some of them I wouldn't know from anything because we maybe have never sung them. But you know, you think of the words that were put down, and the ones that have lasted the longest a lot of times are the ones that have the most impact. And not that we have to only sing hymns of the past, but there's some wonderful hymns that still impact our lives today. And it's a good thing to pass those on to the next generation. Lutzer said, hymns are songs that contain spiritual truth but are of human authorship, and it would include the majority of what we have in our hymn books. Spiritual songs. This is another, this word is in Revelations 5:9, and I'll just share this. I'll read this. Revelations 5:9. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now this is in the future. This is amazing, right? They fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song. They sang a new song, and that's our word. They sang a new song. Worthy are you. Worthy are you. So, isn't it amazing? There's going to be music not only now but forever. And singing to the Lord, singing to the Lord. Songs of praise and adoration, glory to Him. And then we have just singing, the word singing. These words, as one who did a close study of the different terms, he says that these terms resist rigid distinctions from each other. In occurring together in imperatives to sing, they most likely described a variety of fullness and range. So, you know, there's room for variety. You know, so I think we've had lots of conflict over the years, and this has been something every generation faces. This is not God's style for music. There's conflict, but you know, really, if you look back, that's been pretty consistent throughout history. Because I think one reason that music can be divisive is because, again, it touches us emotionally. And so, let's say I just love Amazing Grace, which I do, but okay, I love that. Well, then I'm singing something else. But it's so contrary, so different. Not the words are bad, but it's just so different. And my emotions are touched, but not in a positive way. I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like Amazing Grace. That doesn't make me feel calm. That doesn't make me. And so, but a different generation has a different style. I mean, they do. And so, I think it's one of the blessings. And you know, I appreciate you being, you know, giving Kyle opportunity as he leads us. I think he has a good spirit. I think that's a great thing. But you just realize different generations have different styles, and we want to always honor the Lord. We want to exalt the Lord, but our styles will sometimes be different. And we need to accept for the variety. Because one thing, we want young people to be a part of this chapel, right? Weren't you thinking this morning, the young people across, I love it when they're setting up here, right? That's a great thing. Be thankful. There's lots of places there's no young people sitting in the front row. There's no, you know? And so, you know, when the sound of the music is not quite what you want, just be thankful to people. There's some young people here who want to sing, right? But anyway, encourage them. We try here as a family to balance, because we try to have music that different styles for different people. But anyway, let's not get lost there. Just look at the last part of this, because I think it really helps. It's singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, obviously, we need to be thankful. The same word, and it could be translated in your version, may in grace use the word instead of thankfulness, with singing with grace in your hearts to God. But the word is translated thanks in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, that's our word, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I think is important for us to realize is when we think of all that we have in Christ, we teach what we have, we admonish what's consistent with Christ, And then when we sing, obviously we sing and it instructs us. A lot of times hymns are instructive, but sometimes they're just adoring. They're just exalting. They're just praising. And when we realize, when we let the Word of Christ dwell within us, we realize all that we have in Christ. And we of all people on the planet should be the most thankful. We think, oh God, what I have in your precious Son. How wonderful he is. He is so wonderful that I am complete in him. I have everything in him that I need to live life. He's everything. And he's going to be everything throughout eternity. Everything. And so when we think of this, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, we certainly have reason to sing and praise the one who is the center of it all. And we have so much to be thankful for. So when we're singing, may we really sing unto the one who life is life itself. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. May that be reality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for him. May we treasure the word that points us and tells us about him. May it dwell in us richly. May we live wisely, and may we share with one another in our family. And may he get all the thanksgiving and praise. In his name we pray. Amen.